Good morning. It is May 21st, 2024, and this is episode 174 of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast. Stand-up comedian and actor coming to you live on another travel edition. I am here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I drove out here yesterday for a fun little 10-minute showcase spot at this open mic called Manic Mondays, and I had come out here about 6 weeks ago and had done the open mic and had a really good time, and the producer of the open mic reached out and invited me back to do a 10-minute showcase spot, and it was really fun. It was a good challenge for me because the atmosphere, how do I put this delicately? the atmosphere was very different than the demographic that I have been performing for a lot, say, at my home club in Gilbert. Whereas Gilbert is a lot of families, probably a little bit of a higher median age, an age probably around, you know, I would assume the median age is probably 40, 50. We get a lot of, you know, kind of elderly, I'm not trying to say it's like old, but like, you know, like families and couples who are in their 40s or 50s. And don't get me wrong, sometimes we have some, you know, younger people in their 20s or so, but I would say that the median age is probably a little bit higher. And Gilbert's a wealthy town, and, you know, it's kind of that demographic. The demographic at the open mic last night could not have been more different. It was, first of all, it was at sort of a dive bar. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. And, you know, I walk in and smoking is legal, which it's so weird to smell cigarette smoke inside a building. That is something I haven't experienced in years. But that's Vegas, you know. You can smoke inside the casinos. You can smoke inside the bars. And it was definitely a much younger demographic. A lot of, like, 20s and maybe early 30s. And a more rough sort of goth. Like, when I showed up, there were, like, five or six kind of younger looking kids outside smoking weed, wearing all black with lots of tattoos and dyed hair that's dyed green. And, you know, and that was a lot of who was inside the bar. And I go in and it's a smaller venue, but the bar, the actual bar is just, every seat is full of people drinking with their backs towards where the stage will be, and they're watching TVs. There's like a hockey game on. And I know I said it was a lot of young people, but there was this table of one tables. So, I mean, again, it's a smaller venue, but there's maybe like five or six sort of bar tables that, you know, have like, can seat three people. There's like one booth or maybe two booths, a couple gambling machines, and then a bar that maybe could seat maybe 30 if every seat was full. And one of the booths had like three people who looked like they were in their 60s. It was a guy and two women who looked like they were retired bikers. They had those sort of sleeveless jean jacket vests, if you know what I'm talking about, or a jean vest type, you know, outfits, and like leather, and you know, lots of tattoos, piercings, And then in front of them was this table of two guys with like face tattoos and face piercings. And, you know, that was sort of just to give you an idea of the demographic. And here I walk in, completely clean cut, showered. I'm wearing like a nice sort of blue t-shirt with nice designer jeans and white shoes. I just could not have felt more out of place than stepping into this bar. I'm not even a drinker. I don't like the smell of cigarettes, smoke, and so I'm already like, ugh. And I kind of had a bit of a headache. So, but, you know, they invited me back, and this is an opportunity to try comedy in front of an entirely different demographic and to really start to put my new material that I'm working on to the test, because not only is my material that I'm starting to work on, I really am actually trying to be more corporate, more universally friendly. You know, I'm not going for niche. I'm not going for subversive. I'm not going for vulgar. And that was an opportunity for me to just say, okay, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to do these new jokes that I have been working on and developing over the last couple of months. I had rehearsed just like sort of in my like in my hotel before I went over there. I had, you know, rehearsed in the mirror, just good old fashioned doing my set in the mirror. I had done a couple rewrites. There's one bit that I have been really working a lot on trying to get it honed down. And then I have another bit that's overall working pretty well. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try both of these. I had 10 minutes. I'll go like the first bit is about 5 minutes, so I can try some of these rewrites to see if I can really pin down this material. And then I'll do 5 minutes of the bit that seems to be hitting better. But overall, it's, you know, I'm not using any vulgarity. I'm not being subversive. I'm not being edgy. I'm just up there just stating my opinions and acting them out and just trying to build a set like that. And so to show up at this dive bar with, you know, a demographic that is not necessarily who I would consider my demographic. And by the way, I'm not stating any judgment about who they are as people or anything like that. I'm just pointing out what I was observing. So I show up and I am second on the lineup. And the first comic who gets up is incredibly subversive and transgressive and very funny. I did laugh a lot at him. He has long brown hair, wearing all black. He kind of looks like a guitar player, you know, like of a underground indie band. You know, he kind of has that vibe. And he started his set talking about how bad he hates effing cops and F the cops. And this is a white dude, by the way. And I saw some cops across the street. We should run over there, you know, and he's kind of doing that stuff. And by the way, I know the way that I'm saying it will make it sound like, well, why is that funny? He was funny. I'm not really able to do his set justice or deliver it or recap it in a manner that does it justice. But that's just how he sort of starts. And his whole set is very, you know, critical social commentary, very biting, very transgressive. But he was being very honest. He's being very authentic and, you know, for who he is and what he thinks and what he believes. And he was getting a ton of laughs, a lot of big laughs. And, So that's what I had to follow with my, you know, significantly more milquetoast, PG-rated, you know, really trying to see how funny I can be with material that is, you know, it's not really biting at all. I'm not going for that. And so it was my turn, and it was kind of interesting. Before I even went on stage, I was sort of in the back of the bar there, and just trying to put myself in the right headspace. And I've been cognizant of a fairly significant character flaw in my psyche, which stems from this insecurity of, you know, needing audiences to like me, needing to be validated, never thinking I'm funny or funny enough. And I just, before I went into this situation to where, all right, I have to follow this guy who looks, again, I'm being judgy, looks like he belongs, you know, in a bar, like these are his people, more like this is his demographic. He was incredibly funny, very rowdy, and it's a bar on a Monday night. And so, you know, they want rowdy, they want loud, and they want transgressive. And then I'm the second guy. And I just thought about that. I'm going, you know, I'm just kind of done playing that card of being insecure and not knowing if I'm funny or funny enough or whatever. And I just went, it was a little arrogant, you know, it was a little sort of like pregame pump up, but I just was like, Paul, just walk up there like you're the funniest fucking person in the world. And just bring that energy. And you are not the guy who went before you. That's not who you are. You don't have to be that guy. You just have to go up there and be you. You have been working harder on this material probably than you have worked on any other material in your comedy career. You know, I previously just had a tendency just to kind of write down. I mean, I wasn't a very disciplined writer, which every comedian who's ever been successful will tell you that that is key, is a disciplined writing structure, you know, writing every day. I never did that. I would write, and I was enough of a performer that even if the writing wasn't that good, I could kind of sell. It's like my performance sort of masked maybe not super great writing. And I don't say that as some big slight on myself. It's just, how could I be a great writer if I wasn't writing every single day? It's just, you know, it's like me saying, oh, yeah, I'm a distance runner. But I'm like, well, how often do you run? Oh, yeah, I run every couple of weeks. Really? You run every couple of weeks? For how long? Oh, you know, around the block a couple times. It's like, no, that's not distance running. Distance running is, you know, you run 3 or 4 miles every single day minimum, you know. And so when I was first getting into stand-up comedy, it wasn't really what I wanted to do or what I thought I wanted to do. And it wasn't my first love. And so, you know, I wasn't in that mindset of, well, if you're going to do this, you better break out the notepad every single day and be writing and improving your writing and writing more jokes. And I would sort of write by way of inspiration. I would be like, okay, this thing happened, and something would happen that I would go, oh, I could write a comedy bit about that. And then I would sit down and I would write a comedy bit, and then whatever open mic or show I had coming up, I would try the bit, it would usually go well enough that I would go, yeah, okay, you know, maybe I'd make a couple tweaks. But if it went well enough, then I would just sort of move on. And then, you know, I would build sets without really diving in hardcore to the writing and really giving that element of stand-up comedy the sort of attention and effort that I feel it warrants and deserves. And I sort of had my coming to Jesus moment, actually, because of this very open mic that I did about 6 weeks ago, where I did a set and I riffed the entire thing. I didn't do any written jokes. And after that open mic, my buddy Andrew was there and he's like, dude, you Paul, you totally killed it. And I said, yeah, but I improvised the whole thing. How can I be that funny while also doing material? And that's when he said, hey, do you really mean that? Do you really want the answer to that? And he's like, I know exactly what you need to do. And I said, let's do it. So that was 6 weeks ago. So that really set me on a path of taking the writing element of my stand-up comedy significantly more serious, and that's been the case. This, you know, I've spent probably six weeks on writing about 10 minutes of material, and it's still not quite done yet. I don't quite feel I've got it all completely locked in, but it's getting close. And anyway, I went on a tangent. So anyway, I'm in the back of this room. I'm thinking about all of that, and I'm putting myself in this mindset of, you're going to go up there and you are going to do the jokes that you have written down. You're not going to riff. You're not going to get nervous. You're not going to apologize for yourself. You're not going to do all the little games that I do that are really stemmed from insecurity that I do to try to stumble through my sets. And so they brought me up on stage. I did a little riffing right up front, but only about 30, 45 seconds. And it was really more just to get myself present in the room. And I had to address the fact that the guy who went before me, I had to address some of the things that he was talking about because he was so opinionated and he was so, you know, he just kept talking about, you know, going after the cops and he hates the cops and all of that stuff. And so I just went up and just said, well, this is a very uncomfortable time to definitely look like a cop or something. I said something like that. And then everybody laughed. I'm just like, yeah, I definitely look like a cop. And I said something like, I do not share the hatred of cops that the previous comic shared. I've only had pretty much good experiences with cops, everybody. I describe cops as stern but fair. That's been my experience with cops. And they laughed at that because they know that I'm coming at them with a little bit of a blind spot, but also just making it abundantly obvious that, you know, as a straight white guy who looks, you know, like who doesn't have face tattoos, that my life is probably not... has not involved a lot of interaction with law enforcement. So again, did that for about 30, 35 seconds. And then I just went right into my set. And then I just did all of my material. And again, it was a 10-minute set. And I had this bar laughing at me. I didn't feel quite like I was... You know, I mean, it's not like they were uproariously laughing, you know, but they were laughing and I was getting lots of laughs and I was looking around the room like kind of those older biker people. I saw them laughing. the guys in front of them with all the face tattoos. I saw them laughing. I saw some people around the bar who were, you know, who weren't really paying attention at all anyway. I saw a couple of them sort of turn their heads, and I was getting some laughs from them. I was getting laughs from, you know, the people who produced the open mic. And it felt pretty good overall. It felt really good. I recorded it just audio, and when I went home and listened to the recording, I feel that maybe they were being a little gracious in terms of the laughs, because when I went back and listened to the recording, I heard some flaws that maybe I wasn't as aware of in the moment. But, you know, just some opportunities to tighten it up a little bit more. And I just realized, oh, yeah, that got a little rambly there without, like, a clear laugh line. I can, like, clean that up. Just that sort of stuff. But overall, very happy with how the set went. And it was a great opportunity to do stand-up in a different state, in front of an entirely different demographic, an entirely different circumstance. And to be able to step into that circumstance and to still be authentic and to be genuine with the material that I've been writing, which is the big difference between how I'm writing and approaching stand-up now to how I was approaching it even just 6 months ago, where I am now a lot less concerned about trying to be jokey joke or do misdirects or to, you know, rely on wordplay or puns or any of that stuff. Not that wordplay or puns or any of that stuff is bad. It to me, it's if your entire act, my act needs to first come from a place of authenticity and honest opinions. Doesn't mean everything I say out of my mouth needs to be factual, but it does need to be based on an honest opinion, how I really feel, and really trying to be authentic with who I am. And I'll tell you, the more that I lean on that, just the more that I find that even if my jokes aren't the most funny, or even if, you know, maybe the audience isn't necessarily following me or tracking me because I haven't quite honed in all of the material and all of the approaches, it's a very different energy and a very different connection with the crowd. It's almost like even if I'm not doing well, they're still totally with me because I'm being very authentic and I'm not nervous and I'm not insecure and I'm not overly concerned about my ego. I really am just trying to express my true thoughts and my true opinions in a comedic way. And if I happen to express a true thought and an opinion that doesn't quite land comedically as strong as I would like it to land, the audience isn't really turned off by that. It's almost just kind of like they go, oh, okay, yeah, that wasn't that funny, but we bet you the next thing you're going to say is probably going to be funnier because we kind of trust you that you're going to give us something really funny. Whereas before, when I was, you know, more focused on trying to find misdirects and trying to find creative, clever, you know, joke structures and stuff like that, if I did a joke, especially if it's contingent upon a misdirect, and the audience doesn't laugh and it doesn't land, it's like then the audience is actually completely turned off. And trust me, I have lost myself some audiences before, and it is not fun. And so, yeah, it's very different. And part of it is a breath of fresh air to just be like, oh, my gosh, I'm finally feeling like I'm getting in the right, like I'm finding my lane. And it's a lane that I feel like the more that I hone in and find where the boundaries are and where the lines are within that lane, you know, this could actually start to be a lot more fun than it maybe has been previously. So anyway, that is the update for today, May 21st, 2024, episode 174. Did I say May 21st? There was a lot of fours in there. May 21st, 2024, episode 174 of the Paul Green Comedy Podcast by a dreamer for all you dreamers out there. I hope your dreams are coming true. You're out there pursuing and hustling what is calling to you. You're having good experiences and finding the inspiration and drive to continue to pursue whatever it is that is in your heart. So I love you all so much. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you tomorrow.